let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Jerry Udelson is the author of 12 professional books in the field of green building and sustainable design, an arena where he's known globally as the Godfather of Green. As a campus organizer for the very first Earth Day in 1970, Jerry's recollections are featured during Earth Week in the A&E History Channel's podcast, History This Week. Jerry's 9-word resume reads simply, engineer by training, marketer by inclination, writer by avocation. His new book, The Godfather of Green, an eco-spiritual memoir, published on Earth Day 2020, combines his career as an active environmentalist with an inspiring story of spiritual awakening and discovery. Midwest Book Review calls The Godfather of Green a well-done memoir that holds far more insight and meaning than an exploration of one man's singular life. And Jerry Udelson, author of The Godfather of Green, an eco-spiritual memoir, our guest on This Week in America. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for inviting me.
It is our pleasure on so many levels. This book is a must-read. And let's start where the beginning of the book you talk about, with millions of others, for years I demonstrated against the Vietnam War, but saving the environment required more than opposing pollution. It required entirely new waves of thinking. In response to this dilemma, Earth Day provided a lifeboat in a sea of troubles. Earth Day made me an environmentalist. Talk about the impact that Earth Day had on you. It was what you called the first inflection point in your life, and the impact it's had on the world as well. Talk about the importance of that first Earth Day.
Well, you know, if you go back and look at the history of the times, and you look at photographs of every big city in America, air pollution was awful. In Los Angeles, where I grew up, it was the smoggiest city in the country, the most polluted. One day out of every two was unhealthful air, stage one smog alerts, unhealthy to breathe. Now, this had an effect growing up on me. I was a college athlete. It was terrible to try to work out and play games in smog. In fact, it was so bad that you could see haze from one end of the gym to the other. So when Earth Day came along, it was building on a growing discontent with business as usual. And of course, many people would say, all this pollution, the waterways polluted in Cleveland, the Cuyahoga River was on fire because
of all the oil slicks.
So everyone was like, what can we do about it? And Earth Day became this catalyst for political action. Interestingly enough, Richard Nixon was president then, and Ronald Reagan was governor of California. Both of them signed landmark environmental legislation. It wasn't seen as a partisan issue. And as I like to say, when 20 million people demonstrated, all of a sudden, politicians, you know, don't have a lot of skills, but one they have is they can count. And when they saw 20 million people turning out, in fact, I was told something like 240 members of the House of Representatives were actually out giving speeches in their districts on Earth Day 1970, and they couldn't hold a meeting of the House. There wasn't a quorum. So that's what would happen. And so in the next 5 years after Earth Day, there was a response, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Endangered Species Act, all of the environmental legislation that has given us a much less polluted environment today was enacted in the 5 years after Earth Day, and in some cases in 5 months after Earth Day. So it became this tremendous catalyst. And for me personally, I was a student of environmental engineering. I was in graduate school. I wanted to be make a contribution with my work. But the more I studied, the more disturbed I got that this was not a technical problem. This was an economic problem, a social problem, and one that I had to be more active in. So Earth Day really ended up kicking me out of graduate school and into more of an active participation in things politically, Ended up teaching environmental studies at University of California and working as an environmental consultant, and really sort of kicked me onto this life path of wanting to make a difference with my life and my work to bring about a cleaner environment for everybody.
Well, and you've done that. With us on the program is Jerry Udelson. That's Udelson. If you're Googling, his book is The Godfather of Green, an Eco-Spiritual Memoir, book available wherever books are sold, forward by Ed Begley Jr. I can remember vividly 1970, doing television programming at the time, a number of interviews, Earth Day. It was a major event. And you said something there interesting. Just at what point, was there a point when this became a political issue? Because at that time, everybody was around it. It didn't matter the party. It didn't matter what your affiliation, what your thoughts were. We all were concerned about the environment. Now it's a political issue. Was there a tipping point when it became a political issue?
Well, I think if you talk about it realistically, what happened at that time, as you remember, the Democrats controlled the Senate and the House, and they had controlled it since the mid-50s, so that was 15 years already. And the Republicans pretty much had the presidency locked up for the better part of 25 years, with Jimmy Carter being the lone exception.
Yes.
And when Reagan came in 1980, a lot of the business interests that were sort of chafing under the Nixon environmental policies and the Carter environmental policies started campaigning to get out from under regulation. And Reagan put in people at the EPA and at the Interior Department who were very anti-government, anti-regulation. And I think, you know, that's just a historical fact. And that stance of being drove most environmentalists to the Democratic Party. So that was really, to my mind, the split. And you know, Reagan did a lot of great things as president. I'm totally supportive of that. But in this area, he really fell down, and it just wasn't his issue. When George H.W. Bush came in after 8 years there, he kind of took a more middle ground position, much like he was more of a Nixon Republican, really. And then we had the Clean Air Act reenacted or updated in 1990, and Bush was all for that. So, you know, you had this kind of 4 years of Bush and then 8 years of Clinton, where the environment came back. And then things have changed over the last 20 years, obviously. But I would say, you know, realistically, most environmentalists, most activists became active as a wing of the Democratic Party. And at that point, you know, it became very partisan, and Republicans felt they had no choice, if you will, to push back.
Right.
And that's when I feel, with this coronavirus, now we're discovering, hey, it doesn't matter what party you're in. If you're sick, you're sick.
Exactly.
I think there's an opportunity in this decade ahead to deal with the issue of global climate change in a very bipartisan way. And that obviously depends a lot on the results of the November election. But people are beginning to see, you know, this kind of problem, whether it's the bushfires in Australia or the mega drought in the American Southwest or ice caps in Greenland melting, it's all of a sudden one world in a way that we have never experienced before. And that, I think, is going to have a huge impact on people's willingness to embrace environmental causes going forward.
Jerry Udelson, our guest on the program, author of the book, The Godfather of Green, an Eco-Spiritual Manual. His website is jerryudelson.net. I'll give you that throughout the program. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Jerry's website and get that information. And you talk about that in the book, in the early environmental movement, you came to realize it was not just an ecological a crisis, the economy of struggle, polluters versus the people, but a spiritual crisis in the larger society. And that second inflection point is interesting in your life. Let's go back to July 4th, 1974, which you called your personal independence day. This puts the spiritual in the eco-spiritual memoir that you had written. Talk about that and the significance that this one individual had on shaping you and your activism, your journey through life?
Well, you know, about a year after Earth Day, I met a young woman who eventually became my wife, but we were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, and she had a very strong spiritual longing herself. And you know, I was an engineering student. I was fairly conservative personally, and she kept pushing me. And in fact, we both wound up as environmentalists, environmental consultants. We actually worked together. But she had this deeper longing and pushed me along. And finally, in 1974, we had been going to various events and listening to various teachers and sages and so forth. And at that time, we lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, which was kind of an epicenter for all kinds of change in the U.S., depending on your viewpoint, good or bad. But it was a spiritual center as well. And everybody who came to the U.S., every teacher from India or Tibet or China or Japan, came to the Bay Area. And I was living there. So, as I say, I got to snack at this spiritual smorgasbord that was going on. And yet I wasn't really satisfied with anything. I tried to learn meditation through TM, which was very big at the time. And nothing really worked for me. I just couldn't get my mind and my emotions to calm down enough to sit. You know, as they say, don't just do something, sit there. So I met this great spiritual teacher named Swami Muktananda, who had come from India, where he was based around Bombay at the time, now Mumbai. And he had an amazing knack for being able to transmit the power of meditation just by being around him and just by receiving a personal touch. And so I went to this retreat with him after having been to his lectures for a few months. I said, well, finally, it's time to dive in a little deeper. You know, most of us will want to put our toes in the water if we approach a big ocean first before we dive in. And so I finally decided to dive in. I went on this 4-day retreat over July 4th. And it was in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's really a lovely setting near the Pacific Ocean, south of San Francisco. The first morning, we sat for meditation, and my legs were hurting, and my back was hurting, and my mind was racing. And then he came in at 5 in the morning and started touching people. That's all he did. He just touched you on a forehead, between the eyes, or on top of your head. But he could transmit his own personal power of meditation directly that way. And all of a sudden, I went into this incredibly blissful space and basically lost my small self in this vast ocean of conscious awareness.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, there were these gongs going off, 1, 2, 3 gongs. And an hour had passed. My mind had been still for an hour. I had sat for an hour. I never could do that before. And of course, I'm like, wow, something big has just happened. And I began to follow him and practice his teachings and adopt a certain lifestyle of meditation that really has stayed with me ever since. And long story short, that was my spiritual initiation day. You could even call it a born-again experience. And that, I think, was the second big inflection point of my life. And then I had to struggle to figure out, well, how can I bring these two worlds together? You know, this kind of far-out spiritual world, far out at the time, it seemed, and this immediate political environment of environmentalism. And that struggle is what I describe in the book.
The book is The Godfather of Green, an eco-spiritual memoir. Jerry Udelson is the author and our guest on the program. His website is very simple, jerryudelson.net. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to get information on Jerry and his book. We have to take a brief pause here. We'll come back and want to talk about the third inflection point in your life. And you've been there through all of this. The first Earth Day in the late 1970s, Jerry Brown was governor of California, appointed you to grow the solar power industry and in that state. We're going to talk about that and the green building movement and where we are today. 50 years later, where are we? Are we making any visible progress? We'll do that on This Week in America. We're back after these messages. Welcome back, Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Jerry Udelson, our guest on the program, talking about his book, The Godfather of Green, an Eco-Spiritual Memoir, forward by Ed Begley Jr. Jerry, when we left you, we were talking about the two inflection points in your life. Let's talk about number three, the green building movement. This was something that really captured your passion. Talk about that and the impact that had on you.
So Rick, as you mentioned just before the break, I was heavily involved in solar and wind power in California and nationally in the 70s and 80s. But eventually, oil prices fell in half, and the economics didn't work out anymore, and that industry kind of went into sleep mode for almost 20 years until the Obama administration kind of resurrected it. But, you know, I was working, you know, we lived in Portland, Oregon at the time, which, if you're an environmentalist, is like heaven because tall trees and running rivers are all around you.
Yes.
And I started working with architects and engineers, working for an engineering firm that did buildings. And I had worked with buildings in the 70s from a solar power point of view, but this came back. And at that time, everyone was talking about sustainability. That was the big thing, the sort of buzzword. We began to hear about global climate change, but it hadn't really resonated with most people at that time. So in the late 90s, I started getting very active in this new thing called green building. What did it really mean? It meant designing buildings with not only the physical environment in mind, but with people's health in mind, doing better buildings. And I thought, well, that sure sounds like a lot of stuff that we talked about in the 70s. Maybe I should check it out. So I got very involved. I ended up on the board of the national organization called the U.S. Green Building Council. And I kept getting more involved. I was the co-founder of their trade show, which is now was very rather quickly and still is the biggest building trade show for environmental design in the U.S. And ended up writing books. I used to say I was a writing fool with an emphasis on the second word because I just kept writing these books. And, you know, the idea of we lose a little bit on each one, we make up for it with volume.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I ended up writing a dozen books, but I was heavily involved. I started speaking. I went to Europe to research a book, and I began to get this opportunities to take my passion for environmental design, my passion for renewable energy, and bring it into this realm of buildings, which, you know, is until very recently about 1/6 of the economy, about the size of healthcare is building construction and development. And I began to see that, you know, this not only made good sense from a health perspective, from an environmental perspective, but it was good business. And I think that became my area of expertise, where I could go to business people. I could sit across from, I used to say, I would sit across from six gray suits in a room, and I would kind of look like them. My hair was graying. I wore a suit. But I could talk about why this is good business. And so as a result, particularly in new construction, green building and certification as a green building became a way in which lots of businesses could showcase their environmental concerns through their work as building developers, operators, contractors, whatever. And that was really gave me an opportunity to really spread my wings globally. And to I visited 20 different countries. I keynoted 100 conferences. And it wasn't that I felt like I was doing this. I felt like this is an important information that people need to have, because this is the world we need to create for the future, where we don't depend so much on fossil fuels. We don't depend so much on trashing the environment to make a living, that we can do things in a much better way. So it was a very positive message that people responded to, which is, hey, this is better for everybody. It's better for the world. And by the way, you're going to make more money. And that, by the way, was, of course, what every business person,
exactly, yes,
most of them were listening for. And so that became my shtick, so to speak. And at the same time, it was also a chance to offer service. And I think one of the essential issues for any person who is spiritual or religious is you want to offer your work as service to others. It's not just about you. It's about what can I offer? And that was really a way in which I saw that I could combine my inner spiritual work in my meditation practice with my outer environmental work and bring those two together and as twin threads that would weave a tapestry of something very valuable, not just for myself, but for everybody around me.
And you've been very successful in doing that. It's such a great story. Jerry Udelson, our guest on the program, the godfather of green and eco-spiritual memoir, forward by Ed Begley Jr. A couple minutes left in the program. You are considered an international authority in sustainability, green building, a lot of the environmental issues that you've devoted your life to. You talk to a number of people globally. You see a new generation of Jerry Udelsons out there that are carrying on your mission. What are your thoughts? Are you optimistic about the future?
Well, I am, because there's an awareness, there's a global awareness, there are all of these tools. Remember, when we started Earth Day, there were no cell phones, no personal computers, no
exactly.
cheap copiers,
yes.
no anything that we have today, certainly no social media. And we have all of these great tools. And I was thinking the other day about, well, what could we do when we finally exit this coronavirus lockdown and this crisis? You know, we really have, as a civilization, as a global civilization, one big superpower, and it's called R&D. It's called science. We have the ability to create a new world, whether it's new power sources, new ways to build cities. We have this superpower. We're seeing it now with the response to the coronavirus, the COVID-19, where laboratories all over the world are engaging in research on vaccines and testing, new methods for testing, et cetera. We can deploy our superpower to tackle global climate change. And there is a critical mass, particularly among young people. And I wrote in the book, the epilogue is a letter to a young climate striker where I tell them, in essence, that their elders have their backs, but they need to do the work to create this future, and we will support them as long as we're around, but that there were a few things that I had learned that I wanted to share with them, and that was, you know, you need to understand that the greatest political movements of the 20th century, whether it's Gandhi in India, Martin Luther King Jr. in the U.S., Nelson Mandela in South Africa, these all came from a standpoint of love and inclusion. And you need to figure out a way to include everybody in your vision of the future.
Well, you've done such a great job in the book. It's an excellent read, and the challenge to the next generation of activists out there. The book is The Godfather of Green and Eco-Spiritual Memoir, Jerry Udelson. That's Udelson. The author, his website is jerryudelson.net, foreword for the book written by Ed Begley Jr. We could talk for hours about this topic, and hopefully we can do this again at some point. Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the day we're doing this. It's actually Earth Day. So thank you for spending this. It's a very memorable day for you and for the country as well. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Rick, thank you for the invitation. This is lovely.
It's been our pleasure. With us, Jerry Udelson, the godfather of green and eco-spiritual memoir, his book. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.